Well, hello everybody and welcome. We are Lizzie and Justin from Third Space, and this is the 341th. I don't think you can say that, can you? 341st week of a conversation that we call Turning Towards Life. And hello, Lizzie. It's so wonderful to be with you. And hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us. You might be on our podcast. Some of you are with us live in our Facebook group, which everyone is welcome to join. You can just search Turning Towards Life on Facebook. Many of you might be have found us on our turningtowards.life website, and we're on YouTube and all the places, of course, that these things go out in the world. But actually, Lizzie, that this is live also every week, I think, feels very important for me to say this morning, that there is a recording, but it's not edited or smartened up or made shiny or anything. Such a big part of the commitment in beginning these conversations when we did, Lizzie, I know, was to inhabit and share a kind of realness of conversation, which I know is very important to both of us, but it's also very important in all the work that we do at Third Space. So I'm going to make a little shout out before we begin. If you're listening and you haven't found out about Third Space that gave birth to this conversation project, you can check out wearethirdspace.org and find out all the coaching and related things that we're up to there. Meanwhile, we are in a moment going to begin, as we always do, with a source, some writing to launch us into conversation. And Lizzie, thank you for bringing this wonderful, wonderful source. And I'm handing over to you.
Thank you. Yeah, we've done this a few times, Justin, where we have an amazing source by my incredible sister Holly, and she sent this to me the other day, which she had written when she had very young children, and she lobs things into my realms now because I'm in that place of having young children and being all over the shop. And the other thing that happened, Justin, which is really wonderful, and I know that you know about this already, but I'll say it for the benefit of everybody else, is that two of our really wonderful alumni who've been through the professional coaching course with us, Charlie Lyons and Lindsay Jernigan, have started a parenting podcast, and it's called Made Possible by Parenting. And I went on it the other day as their first guest. Normally, it's just the conversation between them both. And they called on me and said, "Would you be our first guest?" And of course, I said, "Yes, absolutely." So somehow my little 4.5 month old one stayed in his daddy's arms for a couple of hours while I did my first something that was longer than this. And we had an incredible conversation. And so I got to see that we haven't really done anything here on the topic of parenting. And Holly had sent me this poem. I'd sent it to them and said, "Oh, maybe you could use this as a source on your podcast." And then I thought, hold on, Justin and I need to talk about this. This is a great source for Turning Towards Life. So I'm saying that because such wonderful stuff gets born from our community, in our community, within it, and including us in it as well in return. And it was really lovely to be with them. They weren't from the same cohort either. So this horror, this like very unlikely pairing happened across, like, I think Charlie did the PCC maybe 10 years before Lindsay or something like that, like a big gap. And then they met in a space somewhere and found this common ground together. And they're both mums of middly and very young ones. And so I'm really grateful to have been on their podcast, and also grateful to tell all of our listeners and community members about their podcast, Made Possible by Parenting. And it's on Spotify, and you can follow them on Instagram and all the things. So, this poem by Holly is called Bless This Dirty Sponge. And I'm going to read it, Justin, as usual, and then we'll hear from you and we'll see where this takes us. And Justin, I think it's one of those other things that you and I often have conversations about parenting and what's happening with our children, but we haven't really brought it here. It's not, we haven't really been explicit. And I think our development and our parenting are so intrinsically linked. So I'm really glad to be bringing this and wandering into that piece of specific lifeness with you today. So Bless This Dirty Sponge by Holly Holden. My spiritual path is not marked out by rose petals, but dirty sponges, baby wipes, frozen peas, and car keys. Washing up is my Zen daily practice. Leaving parties early to get everyone home to bed is how I learn self-discipline. My meditation happens while I run the bath. And sometimes at 4 a.m. while I try to get back to sleep after waking to help someone use the potty. My masters are unusually direct and demanding. They teach me how to live without apology and how to be right where I am, because they know there is nowhere else. And at the end of the day, I give myself a cup of Hail Mary tea as I forgive myself for all the ways I fell short again. And I kiss my gurus on their tiny wise heads and prepare myself to start all over again.
My goodness, it really is wonderful to hear you read that. I'm feeling very grateful to Holly,
Yeah.
who I also think is fabulous. Thank you, Holly, for these words. And what a treat it is to be able to share them in this way out into the world. So this is Bless This Dirty Sponge. My spiritual path is not marked out by rose petals, but by dirty sponges, baby wipes, frozen peas, and car keys. Washing up is my daily Zen practice. Leaving parties early to get everyone home to bed is how I learn self-discipline. My meditation happens while I run the bath. And sometimes at 4 a.m., while I try to get back to sleep after waking to help someone use the potty. My masters are unusually direct and demanding. They teach me how to live without apology and how to be right where I am because they know there is nowhere else. And at the end of the day, I give myself a cup of Hail Mary tea as I forgive myself for all of the ways I felt I fell short again. And I kiss my gurus on their tiny wise heads. And prepare myself to start all over again.
Thank you, Justin. Gosh, well, first of all, it feels so good through this poem, through Holly's poem, to honor anyone taking care of small ones and the huge thing it is and how commonly invisible it is in our world. And when we're in it, it's so all consuming and simultaneously so invisible is such a thing. And so I'm feeling very, I have a smile on my face at you reading this, Justin, because I'm receiving it. I feel seen by it, you know. I feel like, ah, someone understands what these realms are in my life at the moment. And there's nothing like grounded realness of small children and the no nonsense on the fact that Holly starts with my spiritual path is, you know, all the connotations of a spiritual path. Maybe like in a cave somewhere meditating or being really quiet and still and focusing and breathing and all those wonderful things. Happened a lot in my life before young children came along. It's like I've had to find, just as Holly's saying, I've had to find what that is in what isn't that. So sitting still for long periods of time and reflecting and writing things down and all the wonderfulness of that, which I think will return to my life someday. It is just as needed, even it might be needed more now. But life doesn't afford that. So this kind of creativity of interpreting what's happening as opportunities for a spiritual path feels really important so that I can consciously practice and bring myself to life in ways that I fully intend. And yet, the more traditional seen ways of going to a workshop or listening to a podcast for an hour, or whatever the things are that take spaciousness and time and aloneness. It's really hard. And I know, Justin, in one of our, like one of the big principles in our work is pragmatism. So what works? What actually works? Let's do that thing. Like what can happen rather than what's so far beyond our reach that we're never going to get to, but feels good to aim for or something. This feels like an application of that part of our work where, depending on the circumstances of our lives, we can turn what is happening, what's grounded and real in material terms, in circumstantial terms, into whatever we want to turn it into, if we're in the right kinds of conversations and reflections. And this, for me, is a really big expression of that.
I was just remembering, you'll know this, Lizzie, but I'm going to say this for everyone else, that the children that I have, the young people that I'm a parent to, are now nearly 18, 21, 23. So they're not, we're not in this bit that Holly writes about. But I was remembering our firstborn, Noam, was born just before Christmas time. And I remember sitting with him, snuggled up with me at what a week later, on New Year's Eve of the year that he was born, which was the New Year's Eve 2000, 2001, and hearing all the fireworks going off. There's a New Year's Eve firework thing not far from us that we would ordinarily go to. And I remember sitting there and saying to Davina, saying, maybe we'll never be able to go and do anything ever again. And that sort of sense that what I could really feel in that moment was actually less the worry that I would never be able to do anything again, but more the tension of this call that Holly's pointing us to, of sort of a way in which I'd made sense of what it was to be me doing life that was being called into a whole new frame at that point. Like, I'm not just going to go out and I've got a 7-day-old baby, and it's our first one. We have absolutely no idea what we're doing. Right, really no idea. Anyway, I think that was here because actually it struck me whilst you were talking that it's both a commitment in the work that we've got really dedicated to in our lives, the sort of the path of working with people that's expressed through this thing called Third Space that we are involved in together, but is also really expressed here, which is that the whatever you call it, whether you call it a spiritual path, which is one way of naming a path for us to walk in our lives, or maybe a developmental path, or a path of living more deeply and fully and intentionally, like taking care of our lives in the fullest way, is always a turning into life, not away from life. That's why this is called turning towards life. And one of the, I'm really with you that meditation and retreats and going on workshops and having some quiet time to read a book or to write a journal or to make art or to walk in the woods, all of these things which take us somehow out of the ordinary day-to-day routine can be enormously valuable. And I think it's a mistake to think that they are the path. Because I think that all of those practices and all of those activities, at their best, what they do is they help us to do what Holly's inviting us to do, not the other way around. Which is the tension I could feel on that New Year's Eve. But I'm going to be pulled away in some way from what's right here. But actually, the deepest, the kind of paths that we humans need to walk, actually for ourselves, but also for everyone who's around us and collectively, is in the end, whether you go on a 10-day breathing retreat, or you sit and you do whatever you can to be present whilst your little one is in the bath, they lead to the same place, which is deeper and deeper engagement with this very mysterious, very extraordinary world that really needs us. And so, for me anyway, all the interpretations of spiritual paths as an escape from the everydayness of the world have it in the end the wrong. If that's where it ends up, if it takes us out, it ends up in the wrong place, because the world is miraculous and deep enough for us to de dedicate our lives to meeting what's here and doesn't need us to run from it. And sometimes we do want to run from it, and sometimes it really helps us to have places that we do get relief from, if we're able, from all, actually a relief from all the things that, Holly's talking about. But you know, when you're bathing a little one and not doing something else, one of the things that occurs to me is, how on earth is there a little one? How is it possible that there's anyone and anything living? How is it possible that I'm here and can experience being with this one, and this one is a growing into experiencing person? And how is it that there's water and pipes and, you know, a whole network of things that brings water to us? You know, if we live, if we're fortunate enough to live in a world where it's possible to do these things, it's, but you know, we're not in a war zone, or we're not in a place that's been so depleted of resources that if you have any of the anything around you that makes it possible to get up in the middle of the night and help someone use the potty. So there's lots more to say, because I haven't even begun to talk about how the little ones are our gurus, which is one of the big parts of Holly's writing. But I'm really, I suppose I'm trying to find a way of articulating that it's a hard learning, I think, for many of us to find out that the world is calling to us, and can we make our path, can we at least consider making our path coming to the world rather than away from it, and using our away as a way to come to? Because it's in the world that all the things of taking care of the world and one another are going to happen. They're right here at the ends of our hands, and you know.
Yeah, it feels very, what's the word? Like when you describe the pipes and the water and the everydayness. I can feel myself just welcoming those very, very deeply as you're talking. And, you know, one of the kind of buzzwords in parenting, I think, is that I've certainly been encountering is self-care, which I have a strange relationship with because I'm a person who doesn't want to get away from my children, but I do want to take care of myself. So this conversation feels really important because I want to be able to enjoy my life and be present and include myself in terms of my needs and my wishes. And so this kind of presence I know in my life that you're talking about with the acknowledging the wonder of what's here right now in the ordinary, that kind of conscious practice and welcoming of what is feels like the most excellent kind of self-care that I can imagine. And I know from all of the contrast of being a parent to young children and having been not a parent to young children for nearly 40 years, I know the world's now very well, different the difference. And I know that my most fulfilled times in my life haven't been when I had loads of bubble baths and took care of myself in that kind of stereotypical way, but when I did this very thing, which is to be present and available and responsive and turning towards whatever life I was encountering, whether it's inside of me or in other human beings or circumstances, the kind of freedom that I felt in my life, turning towards what's here rather than fighting what's here, has been one of the best ways of me taking care of myself that I've known. So I feel very invited into that sense of self-care with what you said, Justin. I'm really grateful. And it's so funny because this conversation is going around in my head all the time as I'm in the thick of mothering and being sent very central in my children's lives. And it's also a path for me because it's the way that this has all been handed to me in terms of my ancestry is that there's a lot of, like, none of us are far away generationally from profound trauma. I don't think anyone's escaped that, me included. And so there's lots to be undone. There's lots to be noticed about my tendency towards resentment and sacrifice and my nervous system feeling kind of ripped to pieces when both children are crying, for example, or I can't meet everyone's need. Like, there's no way I can meet everyone's needs at once, kind of, let alone my own. And so if I can see that as a path, and if I can see that as things to be brought to the light for me to consciously welcome as my path, as my inner work, as my work to be done as a human being, a whole new set of stories can be written, are being written. And I hold my own intentions as well to be really important, and to then notice what my intention is versus what actually happens, and what do I need to do to address that gap. So when my intention, one of my most, I think my deepest intention is to be joyful as a mother, because there's been so much sacrifice and misery and distress in the mothering line, in my, where my grandparents and mum and everybody came from. And so I have an intention for joy, and I really want that to be the kind of what my children say about me when I'm not here anymore, is that my mum was funny, or that she enjoyed herself, she loved being our mum. You know, I want them to say that, which is a big thing. And of course, I fail at that a lot. And so my not living up to that intention gives me all kinds of ways and reasons to do my work. So when things arise in me that feel difficult and I feel reactive and triggered by things, I notice and I wonder in this moment, what could I do to enable this to be more joyful than it is right now? Because, of course, another thing about our work, Justin, is that we are the storytellers. We're the interpreters of what's happening. And I know this so deeply because I know other people respond entirely differently to me at the same thing. And I've been studying and watching that to kind of keep on showing myself that I'm an interpretation rather than in truth, or even, I think objectivity is basically impossible. I'm bringing myself to life like this, and life is coming back at me because of how I'm being. And if I can really take responsibility for that as a parent, firstly, it becomes really interesting. That consciousness is like an aliveness that I feel really compelled towards. And I also feel like that's how I can make decisions in the moment to undo things. So when I'm feeling particularly resentful or sacrificial or annoyed or irritated or all of the things, this little kind of remembrance of my intentions is right there. And an awareness of what I came from and what got given to me and what is kind of unconsciously, habitually there in my responses. And I have something to work with. And it's really cool to have all these experiments that I can do. Like when we're going out the door and it's literally like herding cats that can't be herded, and the shoe is in another shoe, so we're never going to find it or something. My husband's shoes are really big shoes, and my children's shoes are really small shoes, and those shoes go in those shoes. And then how do you find those shoes? Like things like that are happening at the same time as there being a school drop off to get to or whatever. Can I cultivate joy in those moments, or am I completely taken? And many times I am completely taken. Like Polly says, I fell short again. And then I get ready to start again. What an incredibly benevolent, ever benevolent path parenting is, to allow us to try again and again and again to be the to live out the intention that we're dreaming for or wondering if it's even possible in this lifetime.
Wonderful line in a poem, which I think you know, Lizzie, that I don't know if we've ever brought it to Sailing Towards Life. It's by Thomas Trenstrømer, and it says, "You'll never be complete." And I was thinking, as you were talking about how easy it is, I was thinking about how this, what we're talking about parenting, and many, many, many people in the world are parents, and many people aren't parents. And I was thinking about how this is true of so many domains. Any domain where we have to take care of anybody or anything shows us the same thing, but in a different way. So I sort of want to include, or like put my arms around everyone who's here, who isn't a parent, is not yet a parent, will never be a parent, never has been a parent, all of that. And to sort of include all of that in here, because I was thinking about caring for elderly ones and caring for ill ones and working with other people and looking after a house, and like they can all be unusually direct and demanding masters and gurus. You know, it's the same. And there is something about caring for very little ones who haven't yet entered into the realms of adult, the sort of the kinds of reasonableness we try to take on as adults, where we try to look intelligible to other people, and we do our best to get along or not, or you know, and all the stories we're living in. When you're with very little ones, they're not in all of that yet. They're sort of being apprenticed into that world as they go. And so it struck me that the, you know, one of the troubles with all of this, one of the troubles with the spiritual path, and one of the troubles with the word self-care, and one of the troubles with how parenting is constructed in our society, is that we're bombarded with images of supposed perfection. Like there is a place to get to, and if you only got it right, you know, you'd have all of these smiling children. There would be hearts and flowers everywhere, and the sun would always be shining, and everybody would be in clean clothes, and the light would be coming in through the windows in a particular way, and you know, all of that. As are the stories of self-care, like the sort of like self-care is somehow, I don't know, some mountaintop to get to. When you're at the top of the mountain, you'll do self-care, and but it's mostly a way of selling stuff to us or having us absent ourselves, when actually the reality of all of it is incredibly messy and incredibly complicated, and we're always, 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 always falling short, whatever ideal we have. You know, I was th thinking, hearing you talk about joy, and I was imagining and knowing all the times when it's not joyful, when you'll be super frustrated and angry, and you know, and I think about for myself, all the times that I've wanted to be open and gentle and available, and I've just been really cross and said something that afterwards I thought, how could I have said that? And I'm the big one, and they're the little ones, and well, look at what I did, and you know, or just got to the end of my capacity and made some stupid mistake and left a child on the roadside, you know, and driven away, or you know, all those things that happen. And so that's this part that in listening to you and in coming back to Holly's words, that the, in a way, when Holly writes, "My masters are unusually direct and demanding, they teach me how to be right where I am, because they know there's someone, there's no, they know that there's no one else, and there's also nowhere else, and there's a wisdom in that." Little ones have a way of showing us that, because they haven't yet got into the all the ways that us adults have of sort of escaping the immediacy of the world. And so it really is a call to come at life. You know, you were talking about, we know that it's all about interpretation of the stories we tell. I've been thinking a lot over the last few days that really to be a human is to be in stories of possibility all the time. Really, the question that we're asking ourselves is, what might be possible? What kind of life could we make for ourselves and together? And our capacity to imagine possibilities is what allows us, right in the midst of real difficulty, to build worlds that will be good for people. You know, that we can do that. And in parenting and in lots of other domains of our lives, We're always in the gap between the possibilities we can imagine, the intentions we hold, and the actuality of a physical world with limits and tiredness and bodies and mess and, all of that. And so one of the things that we get taught here, if we're open to it, is how to hold, to point ourselves towards a possibility that really matters, like to dedicate ourselves towards kindness or joy, or maybe, maybe the things that didn't get passed down through our ancestry because people couldn't, it just wasn't available. And at the same time, hold that the world and us are never going to be a possibility pursued is very, very rarely completed. So we're always going to be in the tension between the two, in the mess, falling desperately short. And maybe what little ones particularly can teach us is this direct and demanding call back into what's really here, not to lose ourselves in our hopes to the extent that we can't live here without beating ourselves up, or without, it sort of calls on a real kindness and acceptance of holding. It's like holding heaven and earth together. It's like the earthiness of what's actually happening and the heaveniness of imagining and pointing ourselves towards the kind of person that I want to be, and they're always going to be in tension. And perhaps there's just nowhere to get to in that. Things will change, and the balance of one and the other may change over time. But there's no release from the earthiness. And if we only live in the earthiness and we don't hold on to the heavenliness of the kind of person we want to be, and this is it's the perfect. So parenting and loving anybody and being a child and being a colleague and building a project and taking care of a house, and they all actually have the same possibility in them, which is that they can be wise, direct and demanding gurus for us.
Gosh, so I love receiving all the things that you're saying, Justin. And I'm really struck by, as I reflect, that me having an intention for joy, as you said, it really matters. Both that I don't beat myself up when I'm not joyful, which frankly, I haven't got time for that anyway, if you know what I mean. It's so full on, I'm in the washing machine most of the time. But having that intention really matters, because I know that when you also said making worlds that are good for people, I can feel what's good for my children in terms of the weather that I am for them, and the mood that I am, and the way I respond to them, because they show me with their happiness and their settledness and their own joy. And I think, as you're saying, it's the same for any. Actually, I think it's a conversation about power in any position where I have any power at all. I have all different kinds of power, and one of them often is that I have an impact on people, but I'm impacting people by the way I'm being all the time. And when you said having intentions to build worlds that are good for people, I was like, yes, that's it. I can tell when the way I'm being is good for people and the way I'm being isn't good for people. That's actually quite easy to tell. And that is a perfect way to have my path shown to me. Is well, what am I? It's making me think of Benjamin Zander, Justin. Who am I being that my child's eyes aren't shining? One of his amazing videos that he does when he's teaching children about music. And that has always stuck to me from the very first time. I think you showed me that in when I first got into our work together. And that has never left me, that line, essentially, of talk, which is a line about power. Like, what am I being in the world that has it be this way with this person? And so I think I'm finishing this conversation, Justin, with this huge sense of gratitude for the power that I do have and the responsibility that I do have, and that I know how to do some things with it, with how to be in a way that has the world that I'm creating for other people be good for them. And what an amazing orientation to life. I love that. I love that language that you've used. And there's so much more to say about all of this. There's so much more. My gosh, it's a little bit like that sauce you bought last time, Justin, about love and that feeling of, oh my gosh, we're never going to say enough ever in our whole lives. So we just have to be okay with the not enoughness and move along. But I want to say thank you to Holly again for this and for finding it in her journals from years ago. Her children are 17 and 13 now. This is not a recent poem, and she found it for me. And I want to say thank you to Lindsay and Charlie for their podcast and for somehow, I don't know, giving me permission to talk about all of this and to bring this to life in a more open and broad way. And thank you, Justin, to you for all of the parenting you've done in your life, both to your own children and other people and colleagues and people you've taken care of. I don't think the word parenting is limited to the ones that live in our house who are younger than us. And thank you to everybody for listening and being with us in this conversation. And please do have a look at Lindsay and Charlie's podcast called Made Possible by Parenting. It's really wonderful. And as Justin always says, please pass this to anyone who feels like they are in the realms of any of this and that it could be supportive and helpful to them. We would love that if you did that. And you can contact us anytime at info, oh no, hello at turningtowards.life or Lizzie or Justin if you want to contact either of us. And we'll be back again next week with a source from Justin. And in the meantime, thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah, thank you, Lizzie. I'll just add that I will post a link to Lindsay and Charlie's podcast in all the notes when this goes
Great.
out. So you can always go and look there. And thank you, everyone. We'll see you next week.